Now, some of these things right now are not new, but the reiteration of them helps to reach a level of ourselves that we are somewhat reluctant to strive to attain. We are to know that we are Christ not in the world, while we appear as form in the world. That's a pretty difficult way of life. But after the intermission, we'll be opened up so that we see how we're going to further this goal. For the moment, we're dwelling on the statement of Christ before crucifixion, "I am not in this world." And we will hear the echo of that Christ within ourselves saying, "I am not in this world." And we will identify with that I which says this, and that is the purpose of this silence. I am that I which says, "I am not in this world, but I am here now in the kingdom of God." We're at the 12th verse. "While I was with them in the world," emphasizing I'm no longer in the world, "while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." Now, at first blush, it would appear that the son of perdition is Judas, but we'll go beyond that. In your 109th Psalm, you notice that there is a statement about the fact that there would be a betrayal, and this is interpreted to be Judas. In fact, the whole 109th Psalm is about that betrayal. But it's much more than the betrayal of Judas. The son of perdition in us is Judas, and it must be cast out. We know now that the son of perdition is our material consciousness, which must be cast out. The love of the world. The son of perdition in us is not the son of God. Therefore, who is it the son of? We rediscover that the son of perdition in us is the world mind functioning as our corporeal sense. Our corporeal sense must be cast out. Always again, in many disguises, we are told that all belief that I dwell in the form must be cast out. The son of perdition in you is your belief that you are living in a form. It must be cast out, even as Judas was cast out. That scripture might be fulfilled, and it takes us even further than casting out the sense of corporeality. And this is something we have never discussed in this class until this moment, that Judas being cast out is a symbol of what you and I must do, for that is a pronouncement of the end of the world. Corporeality is to be cast out. It isn't going to be prevented. Corporeality cast out, or material consciousness cast out, Judas cast out, is a preview of the end of the world. those who cast out the son of perdition, who lose consciousness of form by rising to the consciousness of spiritual selfhood, casting out Judas, are those who are standing in the light, which is unaffected by the end of form. Just as in spiritual consciousness, in the body of the soul, you are not buried, so in spiritual consciousness, in the body of the soul, you are not buried at the end of the world. These could be very unnecessary words for many, but for some of us they're important. We are being prepared not just to step out of a body into a body of the soul, into another realm. We are being prepared to survive the end of an old realm. We are being prepared to be raised into three more worlds. We have the fifth world, the sixth, and the seventh. We cannot stop at any one point, for there are three to go. Fifth world will be our next realm, and we have a preview of it while in the fourth. We attain it now by casting out the son of perdition. I, who am not in the form and therefore am not in the world, say to you, follow me. Cast out the belief that you are in the form, which is Judas. Cast out corporeality, for if you do not, Judas in you, corporeality in you will destroy you just as it destroys Judas. The sense of corporeality must destroy itself because it is never real. It will always throw itself into the fire. The sons of perdition, translated literally, mean total and utter destruction. Perdition means utter destruction. Those who live in form, whether they like it or not, believe it or not, common sense tells them, ultimately, that form is destroyed. And that's why we who live in form are called sons of perdition, sons of the devil mind, of the world mind, of the material consciousness. But we who live in the I will discover that when Judas is cast out, that very same Judas who would betray us, no matter how he tries, no matter how corporeality tries to betray you, no matter how it attacks, it is totally without power. It may seem to have power, but it has no power. Now I come to thee. I come to thee. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. And the joy of Christ is the activity of the Father in Christ. And so when the Christ says, I speak these things in the world, though I am not in it, that they might have the joy that I have, that joy is to know that you are not in a dying world. You are not in a dying form. And these words are spoken for you to know that you are not in a dying form. And you are not in a world that can be destroyed. You are not in it. You are in heaven on earth. And Christ in you can reveal that to you. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now then, the disciples are not of the world. They are in the world, in it but not of it. They have at least learned that they are another substance. They think they're in the world, but they know they're not of the world. They think that they are in the flesh, and that in some way they are of God. They're in an ambivalence. You cannot be in the flesh and of God. You really cannot be in the world at all. You cannot be of the world at all. You can think you are. The disciples are still under the belief that they're in it, although they have learned they're not of it. We could say that we are under the knowledge now that we're neither in it or of it. We're not between two worlds. We were between two worlds when we were in that level of consciousness. But when you know that you are the Christ, you cannot be between two worlds. You're between two worlds when you haven't yet learned your identity. When you learn it, you're not between two worlds. You're in the kingdom of God, because Christ is never out of the kingdom of God. How can you be not in the kingdom of God if your name is Christ? Now, there's a big question. And even though unspoken, it's on every mind. But it's answered, because before you shall ask, I shall answer. And the 15th verse answers that big question that you're not speaking. You're even fumbling to find the question when the answer already comes. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. I, Christ, do not petition God to take my disciples out of the world, but to keep them from evil. Now, what would that mean? This is the answer to the big question we're trying to frame in our minds. How do I become conscious that I am Christ? And here's the answer. Stay in the world. I, Christ, do not ask the Father to take my disciples out of the world, but to keep them from evil. And so this is the method. The Christ doesn't even say, Father, keep evil from them. It says, keep them from evil. And there's a distinction. In the world, we will meet evil in many, many forms. But I, Christ, in you, through the Father coming through I, Christ, keeps you from evil. So that this is your training school. You must walk amidst the evil. You cannot go into seclusion and expect to find Christ. It isn't done that way. Christ comes by your walking in the midst of evil and seeing the good. Christ comes by your walking in the midst of the suffering and seeing the help. Christ comes by your walking in the midst of death and seeing the life. In other words, you must walk through the evil of the earth. That is the training. Anyone can be good if there's no bad around. Anyone can believe in Christ if there is no temptation. And then we don't go high enough, we don't go beyond just the intellectual belief. We must walk on the earth converting all that comes to us, and the word is reconciling all that we see, to the invisible Christ in yourself. This is the real way, the test, the trial, the initiation. You must pass through the school of seasoning. You must be inserted into the appearances of evil. For that is how you develop the capacity to hold on to the contact of oneness. And this is going to be our assignment. A woman called and said she was trying very hard in her classroom to see that certain children were the Christ. She could accept it for some. But these little wiggly ones over there, she said, I'm trying so hard to see that they're the Christ too. What was she trying for? It's a fact. You don't have to try. It is the fact. You see, we're trying, instead of saying, well, it is the fact. I don't have to try. It is the fact. I accept the fact. And the fact is, then, that there isn't a person you can see who isn't the invisible Christ, whether you like them or not, and whether you hate them or not. And it doesn't matter who they are or where they are or how high or low they are on the scale of humanhood. They aren't there. The form isn't there. We've learned that. But the Christ is there. Now your assignment is to live in such a way that you're in the Christ of you and in the Christ of them, so that you turn from the Christ of you to the Christ of them, from the Christ of them to the Christ of the other, so that you never come out of Christ. You're seeing Christ in all. This is how you maintain oneness without falling out of oneness. No matter where you turn, no matter who is there, before you look at them, you are maintaining the constant awareness that only the one Christ is present. And so everywhere you go, you're in a state of oneness with Christ, no matter what the form presents. You see the assignment now? This is the test of living in this world. Don't take them out of this world, Father. They haven't yet practiced oneness through the Christ of everyone they see. They're seeing Johnny Smith over there as a cripple. And they're seeing Mary Jones over there as an adulteress. And they're seeing this one over there as a narcotic addict. And they're seeing this one as something else. And we are not going to do this. We turn to the Christ in each individual without even opening the eyes. We walk in the world through what the world calls evil, knowing it isn't there. And we must be tested in this fire of the world. We must be tested again and again and again until we know that the evil that we are learning not to resist cannot be there. When we have come to the place where there is no evil in this world, for it is the invisible kingdom of God, then the Christ will take us out of the world. But not before. That's why we're in the world. The only way you can get out of the world is to see Christ everywhere you go. So that means that there is not a moment, not a second, between your changing from Christ here to Christ there, because it's one Christ. Wherever you go, you're turning to talk with Christ. It doesn't matter what's before you. It doesn't matter what the weather is. It doesn't matter what the state of the nation is. Your test is to come to that place where you're in Christ in everyone. And that will be the duration of your stay in this world through as many incarnations as necessary. You cannot step out of incarnation unless you step into Christ. That's the meaning of the 15th verse in the 17th chapter. We must be subject to trials and tribulations. Even the Christ doesn't say, Father, take them out of the world, but keep them in it. Expose them to all of the so-called evils and keep them from the evil. Don't keep the evil from them. Dangle it in front of their nose every day. But keep them from accepting the evil as a present truth. Where is the evil? If God is the only creator. Where is the evil except when you are not in Christ, in a human consciousness? And because the human consciousness is what ultimately kills the body, we must be subject to the appearances of evil until we know evil is not there, and then we are not in a human consciousness when we know that. And when we are not in a human consciousness, we discover there is no body to be killed. The plan then, and there's no getting away from it, is that we will be moving in the midst of evil, which is not there to the enlightened one. And if you can see one person on this earth who is not the Christ invisible, you're going to stay in the appearances of evil. Now the technique of not falling out of oneness is the acceptance of the universality of Christ. The so-called worst people in the world make no difference. The best people in the world make no difference. You live in the conscious awareness that all I can meet today is Christ. The rest is the test. I'm going to meet forms, and I'm going to erase them out of my consciousness. I'm going to meet them from the within. I'm going to let the Father within introduce me to his kingdom. I'm going to be taught by God. And once you let your personal sense of self rise up in some form of antagonism, hostility, resentment, even personal desire, you're out of Christ. You break the continuity of the one universal Christ. You're back in this world. Now that's the reason we have our coughs today. That's the reason we have these thunder showers. That's the reason we have the so-called problems, disturbances of the world. They're all part of that picture which is presented to us when we're not in Christ. And they're necessary, because as you establish Christ contact, lo and behold, these conditions are alleviated. And then you know that the way to life eternal is the acceptance that I am that life eternal, the Christ itself, and never must I lose this contact. This awareness, even though everything in this world is working, it seems, in the opposite, to take me out of this awareness. That's how I am forced to maintain the contact. That's why we're on this earth here now, in this level, in this fourth world. To develop the capacity to look through the veil, through the mist, through the evils, to the knowledge that they are only a test, to force me to the higher ground of Christ where the test becomes unnecessary. in your incorporeal Christ self, now you are not in this world. And like the woman who was trying to see that the little wiggly children were Christ too, but not succeeding, the answer is quit trying. There's no sense trying to make the sun shine, trying to make a fact become a fact. Accept, I am not in this form. It's as simple as that. There's got to be a place where you accept, I am not in this form. You're not going to feel it. It's not going to suddenly become a great enlightening fact to you. It's a fact now. And only when you accept it and really go to the extreme length to accept it and dwell there for a while will you see that it's a fact. The moment you accept you're not in the form, you're being forced to find where you are. And then you'll see that you can live in yourself, experience yourself, and even begin to see what was called an invisible kingdom. I am not in the form. And even if it's not a very comfortable fact, it's still a fact. I'd like to finish this next week rather than go through it all and have a complete understanding of it. There's too many verses to crowd into the last 10 or 20 minutes. In our meditation now, there is a self that knows no pain, no disease, no discord, no destruction, no hate, no animosity. It is the self of love. It is an eternal self, an ever-present self. You find it in your higher moments of truth. You ultimately learn it is yourself. And when you're not trying, but rather accepting, then you are in the awareness that I am that eternal love, which is life itself. I'm never going to become it. I am it. And I must learn to face the evils of the world, aware that I am eternal life and love now. That all power is in myself. All power is in my life. All power is in my invisibility. And all that is visible on the earth is but a counterfeit of the invisible present self that I am. I live then in my invisible life, walking through the evils of the world, not accepting them, not resisting them, not trying to change them, knowing that they are not present because I, Christ, am the only presence. When you honor the Father, you are honoring yourself. Now your way out, you're in a place where there's no way for the mind to hold on. To you, in this level, you're not concerned about form. in these moments, you dwell only in the infinite formless universe. You let go of everything. It is a total surrender of all human selfhood. The seed of every tomorrow is sown in this moment. All spiritual fruitage appears from moments of silence in which you attain a level of awareness that Christ, invisible, infinite, eternal, is the name I that you are. In that sowing, there is a harvest. And that harvest ultimately is the graduation day into the realization that all form is now without power. All matter is without power. Nothing can deprive me because I am that infinite self which is I. I am that one. And I am that one every moment that I walk this earth, though I appear in form. The form is in the world, but I am not. I am in the kingdom of God while the form appears in the world. Thou seest the form, thou seest not me, for I am not in the world. I am in the Father, and the Father in me. I am everywhere now, everywhere. This deepening realization will ultimately take us out of incarnation. Out of reincarnation, into the invisible kingdom present, with signs and wonders, with fruitage more than you can handle, but always your supreme test and your supreme harvest is never to fall out of one. You must hold on to that one in everyone to stay in the one. It's wise to establish this very early in the day. I will let nothing take me out of the one, no matter what forms appear, whether they're forms of plenty or forms of lack. Cleave to the one that is sowing to the Spirit, and you will reap of the Spirit. That one in everyone is your being. Now, as you practice this week, not falling out of one, you will be able to come to a full realization of the meaning of the 17th chapter of John. Your second assignment for the week is to look back at verse 11 of the 17th chapter to realize that Christ Jesus is saying, I am not in the world. and to meditate a number of times, to allow yourself to learn the meaning of that for you. What that revelation really means for you, that I am not in the world. This will help you know if you're accepting that the Christ of you, which is your name, is not in the world. If you're not accepting it, you cannot go all the way. 11th verse, I am not in the world. I don't believe we've had any more difficult assignments. So don't be disappointed if you're not able to complete them to your satisfaction, because you can know in advance that you cannot satisfactorily live in oneness throughout the clock. You can make the effort, but you have to creep up higher and higher. The understanding that I am not in the world is sort of the end of the line. And when you dwell with that, it will help you to see the degree of oneness that is required for you to totally be immersed in the oneself. You must know you are not in the world. And practice not being in the world in these meditations. You will discover depths of yourself you hadn't realized. I am not in the world. I am not in form. Thanks for braving the rain. See you next week.